Good evening. We're about a week and a half away from California's primary election, and joining us tonight is Republican Assemblyman Travis Allen from Huntington Beach. Great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you so much for being here. All right, so you've talked so much throughout your campaign about President Trump, how you're the choice of President Trump, how you're the only candidate who actually voted for President Trump.
Very true, very true.
But yet President Trump endorsed your opponent, endorsed John Cox with a tweet this week, even using the phrase "Make California Great Again," which is something that you have used as a phrase as well. Why did he do that, and what do you make of that?
So actually, our phrase is "Take Back California," yeah. But of course, we're very much aligned with the whole "Making America Great" concept, which is really, you know, putting America first. And the thing is that, you know, I've been the ardent Trump supporter from the very beginning. I voted for him, supported him, even wrote op-eds in favor of him. So it was a little surprising to see him turn around and endorse this guy from Chicago, who, by the way, John Cox has run for president of the United States, U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, even county clerk recorder, lost every single time. So it turns out this was an insider establishment play. The story is Kevin McCarthy is running for speaker, and Kevin McCarthy doesn't think anybody can win the governor's race. He just wants to get in the top two to save his congressional seats so he can get that speaker seat. I wish Kevin McCarthy the very best, but I am a Californian first and foremost, and I think we have to win this race. So it's not about the top two, it's about winning.
So President Trump was wrong.
President Trump was very wrong, unfortunately, this time. I'm still a big supporter of his, but we've seen this, remember, in Alabama with Luther Strange. This is yet another Strange endorsement.
Okay, this morning, John Cox was on Good Day LA, and he talked about you, and here's what he had to say. Do you think that Travis Allen should drop out of the race?
Absolutely, and it's not because he's bad or I'm good. I mean, frankly, I have a lot more experience in building businesses than he ever has. You know, Travis has been an assemblyman. He's got a whole two employees. I mean, the problem isn't him. It's the top two. Yeah. The top two system. And Travis, unfortunately, is the useful idiot for this group because he's being helped. No, really.
So he's calling you a useful idiot, saying that you should drop out of the race. What do you how do you respond?
You know, unfortunately, John Cox, a pretty angry old man from Chicago, and we've seen this before in the debates. It's kind of funny. Look, if there's any useful idiot in the race, it's actually him. He's being used by the establishment, just like they used Neil Kashkari and Meg Whitman in 2010. This is yet another Republican establishment play to push through a wealthy business owner that has no support among the base, and really they're just the sacrificial candidate that has no chance of winning. This is the problem in California, is the establishment Republicans are content to lose. Californians are not content to lose. We need to win.
Well, one issue that you're... most Californians are with you on is the gas tax. There's
Without
a new
doubt.
Poll
yes.
from the LA Times USC that shows right there people want to repeal that gas tax. Jerry Brown talking about that this week, though. Here's what he had to say. He said that the test of America's strength is whether we defeat this stupid repeal measure. It was nothing more than a Republican stunt to get a few of their losers returned to Congress, and we're not going to let that happen. What do you say to him?
You know, it's like the claws are coming out of all these politicians. The answer is very simple. Look, I was the original author of the repeal of the gas tax. I've gathered thousands of signatures from and tens of thousands of volunteers from around the state of California to repeal this tax. But it's not just the tax. It's also this illegal sanctuary state, which I have led the fight on. These are the issues that affect every single Californian, regardless of your income level. And Californians know that we don't need another tax, and Californians know that we have to reverse this illegal sanctuary state. So these are the major themes. And when we see Jerry Brown make statements like this, this simply shows how out of touch the California Democrats are with the average California citizen.
Let's get to some policy issues. These are some other issues that probably aren't getting enough attention, so we're going to ask you to pick one of these cards.
All right, let's pick
then,
this one.
And then we'll see which one you get.
You tell me. How's that look?
It says climate change. How do you balance the need for regulation with business concerns?
Look, it's very simple. You know, we all know that California businesses are leaving. And why are they leaving? Because of these policies put in place by the California Democrats. Also, remember Arnold Schwarzenegger is one that gave us AB 32, the global warming solutions tax is what it was. And what they're doing is they're masquerading environmental policy as another way to get more money into Sacramento with your tax dollars. Look, all of the experts agree we could go to zero emissions tomorrow in the state of California, and it wouldn't change global temperatures even a tenth of a percent. But what it would do is it would cost all of us Californians a lot more money, force our businesses and our companies out of the state.
Is climate change a hoax?
No, you know, I think the science is not settled. I mean, I think there's a lot of estimates out there and there's a lot of extrapolations, but it is not settled science yet. So to start devising tax policy based on science is not settled seems a little aggressive to me. And I got to tell you, we already pay among the highest tax in California. They don't need more of our tax dollars.
All right, let's have some fun. This is called personal issues. We just had that come up on the screen. These are 30 seconds on the clock to learn a little bit more about you, right?
Let's go.
Okay, favorite author?
Oh, wow. I'd say, you know, first it's the Bible. Let's just hit it right there. That's his favorite book right there.
Last book you read.
Last book, the Bible.
Okay. Favorite type of music?
Wow. I really like, I like all sorts of music. I love pop, but I also love all the 60s singer-songwriters.
Okay. Least favorite freeway in California?
Oh, gosh. Without a doubt, the 405. Come on.
Favorite movie?
By the way, the 91's a close second.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
Yeah.
The Graduate. Graduate, Dustin Hoffman back in the 1960s. A classic soundtrack by Simon and Garfunkel. Can't beat it.
Okay. How is a Republican going to win this state?
Very simply. Look, in 2014, Jerry Brown got 4.3 million votes in California. In 2016, Donald J. Trump just got 4.4 million votes in California.
All right.
All we got to do is turn out the Trump voters and the disaffected Democrats who have been left behind by the California Democrats. Travis Allen's your next governor of the state.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you so much.
Next, Elaine Neeson with a very different view. In 1995, Delaine Easton made history as California's first woman to run the state school system. Now she's hoping to become California's first female governor. Delaine Easton, thanks so much for being here. Good to see you.
Great to see you. I'm honored to be with you.
Big day for women. Harvey Weinstein turns himself in. What's your reaction to that, and where do you see the Me Too movement going from here?
Well, it's a relief that somebody who was that flagrant and that inappropriate should finally be called to task. And I think the Me Too movement is just gathering strength. Right now, people have put up with too much for too long. And, I know mothers and fathers who have seen their daughters hit on and taken advantage of, and they're sick of it. So men and women of character are both sick of it, and we're really glad to see that the mighty cannot simply buy off the other the people that they've offended and hurt.
Let's talk for a moment about the issue of education, which I know is your passionate issue. What is the single most important thing that needs to be done for California schools?
We absolutely must increase our investment in the schools of this state. When I graduated from high school, we were tied with New York at fifth of the 50 states, and the results were amazing. California was leading the world. The Silicon Valley is born here, not because of a confluence of rivers. We have no Tigris or Euphrates. Our Fertile Crescent was a Fertile Crescent of educational opportunity. Silicon Valley and Hollywood and so many other things that are amazing in California came out of our education. But we've dropped to 41st of the 50 states in per pupil spending. Mind you, we are the most expensive, prosperous state in the union, but now New York, which is still in the top 10, spends more than twice as much per child. So if you got a child in a California school, you really need to understand that local control funding formula, for all of its good qualities, is still the system is fundamentally underinvested in, and it's under-supported, and these kids need much more scaffolding.
What do you make of the fact that Antonio Villaraigosa is getting over $10 million from charter school advocates, and what do you think about charter schools?
Well, I think I think the idea was fine, but the fact is the bill was very poorly written. And so there's a bunch of charter schools that are either for-profit, cherry-picking the best and brightest kids, running, doing illegal things. In Livermore, they were charging Chinese kids $30,000 a family to send their kid to a Livermore school, $1,200 a month to live there, promising them they'd be admitted to Berkeley. I mean, in another school here in Los Angeles, they bought the principal a $34,000 convertible. So we need the kind of accountability. We need to follow the Open Meetings Act. We need to do so much more to make certain that the charters are absolutely held to the laws. And I've called for a moratorium until we've absolutely cleaned up this mess.
All right, we want to get to something called our policy issues. These are different issues that are out there. We want to pick one at random. I'm going to pick the issue of homelessness. What are you going to do differently than what's happening right now?
Well, first, you should know I did come and went on a Saturday night to Skid Row here in Los Angeles, and it was a heartbreaking experience. I will tell you, I have never seen so many elderly women. I have never seen so many women with little children on the streets. It's scandalous. So we're 12% of the nation's population, but 25% of the homeless. First day I'm in office, I'll declare a state of emergency as it relates to homelessness. We will absolutely put our shoulder to the wheel and do everything we can to create a lot more affordable, safe housing for people. It shouldn't just be that we now have a new facility open in Sacramento when you're dying, where you won't have to die on the street. Mm-hmm. It should be a lot more than that. And a lot of these people need mental health support and other support.
All right, let's have a little bit of fun. This is called the personal issues. This is where we got 30 seconds to learn a little bit more about you. So we try to get as many of these in as we can. Okay, you ready?
Okay,
ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right, favorite Avenger?
favorite Avenger? Well, it may be Wonder Woman.
Okay. Early riser or night owl?
Night owl.
Favorite restaurant?
Biba's in Sacramento.
Best thing about being a...
Chapinese in Berkeley.
Oh, there you go. Best thing about being a Californian?
That we get to live here with this amazing weather and these wonderful people.
Best university in California?
Well, it's the University of California, Davis or Santa Barbara. I went to one for undergraduate and the other for graduate.
Favorite comedian?
Oh, favorite comedian. Well, for many years it was Lucille Ball. And I think right now, oh, it's hard for me to say. I'll just stick with the historic Lucille.
Everybody Ball. Loves Lucy. Last question, how are you going to win this thing?
I'm going to win this because of my authenticity and the fact that I've gone from one end of the state to the other, from one side of the state to the other, talking to real people. I'm corporate free. I'm the one candidate who really is working with the people, for the people, for the future.
Well, welcome now to our panel. Lauren Steiner is one of the most influential Bernie-crats in Southern California. She hosts an online progressive talk show called The Robust Opposition. Brian Goldsmith co-hosts Katie Couric's podcast. He formerly helped lead political coverage at Yahoo and CBS News. And Shirley Husar helped lead California's delegation for Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention. She's CEO of UrbanGameChangers.com. A big thumbs up to you like President Trump would do, right?
Yes, there we go. I love my Trumpy.
Okay, but let's talk about California politics for a moment and the race for governor. Donald Trump this week endorsing John Cox. We've got poll results we want to put up there that show right now Gavin Newsom way ahead, but we see a big debate between John Cox and Antonio Villaraigosa potentially for second place. Brian, where do you see the state of the race right now?
Well, this is all a fight for second place. Whether John Cox is able to win through some shenanigans of Gavin Newsom's or Antonio Villaraigosa is going to advance to the runoff. If Antonio wins, it's a real campaign. If Cox wins, it's a coronation for Gavin.
And Shirley, I know you're a Republican who loves Donald Trump.
I do.
But you don't love what he did this
week.
No,
I don't. I'm not happy with the choice that the president made. Look, California is in a state of crises. We need to have a candidate for the Republican Party that can connect with the people. The people's choice is Travis Allen. Unfortunately, he went with John Cox, so we'll see. People thought Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders was going to rise to the occasion. The people's voice still have not spoken. The president is one thing, but living here and being among the people, that's another thing.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton was the choice of a lot of
Absolutely.
The elites. Bernie Sanders
happened?
The choice of a lot of the
and
people.
And now we have President Trump.
And let's turn to you, Lauren, on that point. Who is the choice of the progressives?
Well, I think most of the Bernie-crats that are active politically are supporting Delaine Easton. She's the most progressive candidate. She supports a ban on fracking. She supports the repeal of Costa-Hawkins and the Ellis Act, which affect rent control. She supports tuition-free public college and universities. She supports single-payer health care. Of those things, only Gavin supports single-payer health care, and he had to be dragged kicking and screaming to that by the Nurses Association.
But yet she's so low in the polls.
She's low in the polls. It's disappointing because she's not getting traction in this era of Me Too. You would think all the people that supported Hillary would be supporting Delaine. But we see in New York, Hillary Clinton went out and supported Cuomo over Cynthia Nixon.
Right. And then there's this ad that Gavin Newsom is running that's getting a lot of attention. It's probably airing more than any other ad. Let's show it to you and talk about it on the other side.
Why is John Cox attacking Gavin Newsom for supporting common sense gun safety? John Cox stands with Donald Trump and the NRA. Cox called gun laws a waste of time, opposes background checks and a ban on assault weapons. And Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom took on the gun lobby and won, and passed California's first comprehensive gun safety initiative.
So there are some that are saying that this is a cynical ploy, that it's actually a ad for Newsom that's disguised really an ad for Cox. Mike Murphy, the Republican strategist, put it this way. This is so cynical, Vladimir Putin would be proud of it. Brian, what's really going on here?
Well, that's what's really going on. And it's not without precedent. In 2002, Gray Davis invested in the Republican primary then to elevate the candidate that he would rather run against over Dick Reardon, who would have been a lot more competitive. Here, Gavin knows, as I said, that if Cox is the competitor in November, he's going to have a cakewalk to the governorship.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add
on
that?
You know, it's interesting to me because here we have politics within politics, right? We have people in this country, people in California that do these kind of commercials and they're not relatable to the people. Are you trying to get votes? Are you going to talk about issues or are you going to attack each other on their personal issues? Personal issues is not what the constituents care about. The people of California want to know, what are you going to do about the homelessness? Right. We're tired of hepatitis A. We're tired of hypodermic needles that we're finding in the streets. Look at Gavin Newsom, San Francisco, where we have people who are squatting in the streets. street. Mm. We have squat zones in California. This is preposterous. This is crazy. These are the things that we want to know about. Where's the mental health facility? People talk about education. Lenny just came on earlier, talked about health care, you know, talking about housing, education. What about mental facilities to deal with? There are issues in California of health and sanitation, and who knows in the future that we might have quarantine cities in the
state. You know, everyone says TV ads suck. Voters want a serious discussion of the issues. Unfortunately, TV ads work, and a candidate like
Delaney. TV ads is ancient compared to what we have with social media. We have social media, we have bloggers, we have YouTubers, we have Facebook. We have people
well,
in this
social
generation,
media were
this generation that has a different ideology on how they want to approach things. They don't want to milk down. They want to be translucent. They want to know real facts. They want to cut to the chase because their lives are being affected, and we do not see that in California. What we do is see is candidates like this that are distracting us from the real truth.
Brian?
If social media were sufficient, somebody like Delaney Easton.
Sufficient?
Excuse me.
If social media were enough, you would see the candidates with no money and a strong message winning. That is not what you see.
And you didn't
most
see this
the
in
time.
The last election, how social media was a major impact upon the election.
Well, but Donald Trump also got more TV. He also
California,
got more TV attention than anybody else.
He got several billion dollars of free TV time.
Yeah, so got $5 billion worth of free TV time.
Let's talk for a moment.
Russia.
All right, let's get back on track. Another big issue, Harvey Weinstein today. Big moment in the Me Too movement, turning himself in. What are your reactions to that?
Well, this man is a monster. More than 80 women have come forward with very credible stories and allegations. He's committed sexual assault, sexual harassment, probably rape, and he deserves to spend a long time in jail.
Well, I think this is the culmination of a movement that started years ago with Tarana Burke. It wasn't Rose McGowan that started the Me Too movement with Harvey Weinstein. And the best thing that I see coming out of it is the hearings in Sacramento that Laura Friedman and Holly Mitchell are hosting to uncover sexual harassment in our state government. And three legislators have already been taken down because of that.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see if some of those who are running again will win.
Well, you know, everyone in Hollywood wants to have a voice. So.
We got to run, but we're going to be able to talk more about this in bonus issues. Final question for our panel. USC, there are calls for the USC president to resign from the Academic Senate after this big scandal with a gynecologist who may have been acting inappropriately with a whole lot of women. Yes or no, should the president of USC resign?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will he resign?
I don't know. You know, they're fighters. The gynecologist still got paid afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, he still got his pension. That
Brian?
Was questionable.
Only if he's forced to, and the board has to change direction in order for that to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, the billionaires on the board are still defending him.
And right now he has their support. We'll see if that changes. Welcome to Bonus Issues. This is our digital extra to The Issue Is, and we've got a great panel with us this week. Lauren Steiner, one of the top progressives in Southern California, one of the main Bernie-crats out there. She's the host of the Robust Opposition Online. Brian Goldsmith, who is the co-host of Katie Couric's podcast, which I'm jealous because I love Katie Couric. Also, he is formerly of Yahoo and CBS News. He was the man behind the Sarah Palin interview. Pretty interesting story there.
Well, I can't keep a job.
Yeah. And we also got Shirley Hussars here, who was one of the top Trump delegates at the Republican National Committee. And she is the CEO of UrbanGameChangers.com. Great to have you all here.
Thank you.
Let's pick up on a discussion that we just had real quick at the end of the TV version, which is what's happening at USC. You got President Max Nikias calls for him to resign from the Academic Senate, from students there, because there was this gynecologist who may have acted inappropriately for years and years and years, and no action was taken against him for years and years and years. What are your take on what's happening there?
Well, it wasn't only that. It was also the previous dean of the medical school and the person they appointed after mm-hmm. him. The previous dean was doing methamphetamine with students. And so the guy is obviously not really aware of what's going on under his watch. But to me, the more interesting story is the hearings that State Senator Jerry Hill is going to hold in Sacramento on how the medical board can investigate this in other doctors. Because you know, if this one gynecologist is doing it, a lot of other doctors must be also.
Well, either Nikias was unaware or more problematically, he was aware and tried to sweep it under the rug, not unlike the Catholic Church, where they were more concerned with their own reputation and their image than the students. And his constituency is really the students.
Or Larry Nassar.
But is his constituency the students? The people that hire and fire him are the Board of Trustees. Mm. And right now, they're sticking with him.
I understand, but there's a responsibility that we have to understand. These are young women who probably have never been to a gynecologist. And just think about it. It's invasive. As a woman, I can tell you, none of us like that. And to be so young and expecting to be treated in a certain manner, not knowing that that was inappropriate, how are you supposed to differential? And then the fact that when he retired, they allowed him to get paid. That makes no sense. It's almost like they rewarded him for his wrongdoing, which was unacceptable in my eyes.
Can I make one more quick comment about that? Without the power of the press, in this case, the LA Times, these scandals would not have been known. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything would have happened. These people would have been quietly asked to resign and paid off. Mm-hmm. And now, finally, there's accountability. So the mainstream media does actually deserve some credit here.
And well, thank you. We love
that.
The
LA Times has been doing a good job.
And let's also, it'll be interesting to see how he responds, because in the past, his strategy, PR-wise, has been basically to try to have this go away, go sort of not talk about it for a while, and then come back when things get better or after they win some football games or something.
Right.
Is that good enough here? I mean, he hasn't done any TV interviews. We've invited him to come on here.
Absolutely not, because I think the people want to really have a voice and hear things. California realized that USC is a major university here, have a major endorsers and endowments, and they want to know what is going on.
It's the biggest employer in Washington.
Hey, tell me about it. It's one of the greatest. I went to USC, so I'm telling you.
Me too.
I think now that Glory Allred is involved, we're going to see some major action on that.
Yeah, and she was here on The Issue Is last week,
she was.
Hinting
she was.
At that as well. Another big thing this week, this NFL kneeling policy, which raises some interesting legal questions. The NFL players are now saying the NFL owners are saying that you have to stand if you're on the field. You can stay behind in the locker room, but if you do come on the field, you have to stand, and if you kneel, we could penalize you. Mm-hmm. Fine you. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is they're doing it because of Trump. You know, his audience is the same audience that watches the NFL. And I think they're bowing to pressure from that audience. Trump recently said they should maybe leave the country. So now he's putting him in the same category as he put Mexicans, who are all rapists and criminals, as you know. And
some, I assume, are good people, actually, was the quote.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those racially charged wedge issues that Trump just lunges at as a distraction to fire up his base, which is overwhelmingly white, not surely, but most of his base is overwhelmingly right and white. And I think this is shameful. It's possibly unconstitutional. And it's a distraction from the important business the country
faces.
I
think you're both wrong. This comes down to money and numbers. We're talking about an athlete that is paid to run across the field, take a ball, and make millions of dollars. The NFL has been losing money. This has nothing to do with Trump. But this has to do with urban communities. They're taking the knee because they know about what's going on with police brutality in the black urban communities. You guys want to relate this to Trump? That is bull crap. This has to do with the fact that we have an issue in this country of police brutality and black people being okay.
Yes,
and so they use their platform for
yes.
that. But the ruling of the NFL basically stated also that this falls under the rule game guidelines. So when they stand on the field, that's how they got past all the lobbyists and everything, making this part of the rule guidelines. But we pivot because the liberal progressives want to continue to ride on the backs of black people. The indigenous slave children who've come and built this country, liberal progressives want to do that. We don't want liberal progressives in black communities or to take advantage of what has gone on in the black community. And that has we have deviated, and we're making this all about Trump. We're not under Hillary Clinton, under Obama. We had oppression in the black community. Absolutely.
Hillary got 90%.
He did nothing for African Americans.
Who did
Obama?
Nothing for
Obama did.
So you think the 94% of African Americans who voted for Barack Obama were stupid, that they didn't know who was going to be for them?
He tricked them.
He tricked them in 2012, too?
He is a neoliberal corporatist who did not prosecute any of the banksters for proven fraud that they have settled hundreds of millions of dollars.
So you think 95% of black people were uninformed?
They were uninformed. I will tell you, I spoke to a Hillary delegate at the DNC in Philadelphia who did not know that Obama quadrupled fracking. Fracking is killing people.
It's always a problematic argument to say the voters are stupid. And if only
I'm
the voters knew what I know.
No, yeah. I'm not saying they were stupid. They are uninformed because our media doesn't talk about issues.
All right, well, that's why we're on the show, right? It's called The Issue
Yes,
Is.
Yes, The Issue
All
Is.
All right, let's talk about the issue for a moment of Jerry Brown's legacy. Four-term governor, you are writing a new op-ed talking about the fact that his legacy is kind of complicated. You know, maybe when you look peel back the layers, it's not as good as it's being told. What's your main point, Brian, and let's talk about it.
Well, from my perspective, the media has given him fawning coverage. The voters have given him very high approval ratings, largely because the economy is good overall. But he's evaded or avoided most of the tough choices and the big issues that the state is really facing, from the highest poverty in America, an affordability crisis, an education crisis. And I think the next recession is really going to show how little was actually done and how much was kicked to his successor.
Well, my big issue is climate change, of course. And, you know, he tries to pretend that he's a big climate leader. But as we say when we protest him, as we have been doing for 6 years, climate leaders don't frack. He refuses to ban fracking, and that's because he's taken $9.8 million from oil and energy companies.
Sure.
But here you have Jerry Brown. Pat Brown will have a better legacy and be remembered than Jerry Brown. He is the worst president we've had in California in U.S. history.
You mean governor?
I mean Governor Brown. I'm sorry. Governor Brown is the worst governor that we've ever had with Jerry Brown. Look what he's done. We have hepatitis A. We have hypodermic needles. We have homeless people.
But
we have squatting zones. They give you a map.
We have a massive surplus that just started.
Surplus
because
of what? Illegal immigration is tragedy. It's a tragedy in the state of California. We're having more people come in on top of more people. And you're going to tell me
maybe
a governor?
Maybe they're coming here because the state's a good place to be.
As even Jerry Brown has said, even a moderate recession would produce a deficit four times larger than the rainy day fund. So that surplus is going to be wiped out very quickly.
All right, we've got kind of contentious at time. Let's have a little bit of fun. These are our personal issue cards. I just chose these randomly.
We each
get one of them, and we want to learn a little bit more about you. So give us your question and tell us what the answer is.
The best thing about being a Californian is all the progressives that I get to surround myself with in this state.
Okay.
I was going to say In-N-Out Burgers.
Yeah.
But the best university in California is Stanford, my alma mater. I'm a little biased on that.
So you might actually be right with that.
That's a big statement from an SC alum.
Well, that's saying something the facts may be true on that point. Okay.
My favorite comedian would have to be Eddie Murphy because he's so diversified. I mean, he's an actor, he's a singer, he's a writer. He's just, he knows who he is. And I really appreciate a comic.
Okay, so let's end it with the next big issue is. This is where you tell us what is going to be the big thing ahead, what big thing we should be paying attention to. Shirley, why don't you start us off?
We should be paying attention to urban game changers. We're in the urban communities. We're holding people elected accountable. And we have to deal with illegal immigration in California. That's still an issue. The wall is still an issue. We're going to see that President Trump is going to be pushing that issue to make sure that we move forward on that. And pushing the hepatitis A is going to be an issue. And the hypodermic needles, no one is talking about that. That is a nasty thing going on in California. We need to talk more on that.
Ryan.
The next big issue should be pension reform, in my view, because pension retirement costs have doubled over the course of the last 10 years, and they're draining our budget. I fear that the next big issue is actually going to be single-payer health care, which to me is a politically driven fantasy because it's going to double the state budget, and it will require the approval of President Trump, which ain't going to happen, but I've teed you up perfectly.
I'm not going to rebut you on single-payer because I want to use my time to talk about what I think the next biggest issue is, which is an impending war. Trump is his own worst enemy. I actually agreed with his tweet that we should get out of Syria, that we should get out of Afghanistan, that we should be having peace talks with North Korea. But then he goes in and puts John Bolton, who is one of the worst neocon war hawks in America, as his national security advisor, and Mike Pompeo as head of CIA, and they are both leading us into a World War III.
What a way to end. let's hope not. Thank you guys very much. We got a little bit of left, right, and center here today. So
yes,
that's interesting. Interesting to hear a lot of different perspectives. And a lot of times, people with these different perspectives don't talk with each other. So it's interesting to hear you all here. And thank you for being
pretty
respectful for the most part.
Go Travis.
And thank you guys for listening or watching wherever you are. And we appreciate it. We'll see you next time for more of The Issue Is.
Thank you.